It's 5 o'clock
on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you guys hanging out with us. We're live at Hooters in Buford, guys. Mall of Georgia. Today was day one of Falcons training camp. We found out something that many of you have been wondering and waiting to find out. And that is, we thought Kirk Cousins might not be playing in the preseason. And, Mike, it's been confirmed by Kirk Cousins.
Well, I asked the question of Coach Ra. I said, should we see and will we see Kirk Cousins in the preseason? And the coach said, well, there's going to be sort of benchmarks to kind of reach and this part of practice. And if he shows this and if he shows that. But he goes, I'm not going to lock into any kind of declaration about it. So it sounded like maybe there's a chance. And then about 2 hours later, Kirk Cousins goes in front of the media.
He did. Here's what he said, Atlanta, in regards to playing in any of the three preseason games this season.
I want to play, but I think that ask fell on deaf ears. I think, Raheem's model is you're not playing. Like, that's just not – and I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his approach was like, that's just not how we want to do things. I'm sure maybe I could persuade him. Maybe there's a conversation. Who knows how the Dolphins practices go. Maybe he wants to see us in the game. It's just so much that can change. But, I think seeing live bullets and playing is helpful, but I also understand the logic behind not doing it. And you know, everything we do is calculated, and that will be as well.
Who's the character in Guardians of the Galaxy that Dave Bautista plays?
Drax.
Drax. You know how Drax, when he first meets everybody, goes, why would I say something that isn't true? Kirk Cousins is Drax. That's my new nickname.
Yeah.
He's Drax the Destroyer. He cannot lie.
Yeah.
So, and I was talking to the trainers on the way down here. You mean like before the period of no tampering was over? And then it's like the coach said, you know, there's a chance you may play. Oh, no, he told me I'm not playing.
It's true.
So he really is. Our quarterback is truth serum. And speaking of D-Led from the AJC, Carl, let's fast forward. I can tell you and me will be in that room with Arch and everybody else tomorrow. I know the first question. Coach, it appears the left hand of the organization doesn't know what the right hand is doing. We asked you about quarterback play, and you would not give an answer. And then the quarterback said you told him he's not playing. Care to comment?
I'm sorry, because it will be the first thing tomorrow that D says.
Sure sounds like you guys are not communicating. What's going on here?
We got to later.
Here's what's up, guys. Doesn't matter. Realistically, Falcon fans, we all want to see him. Yes, it's our new toy. We opened it. It's Christmas. All right, he's out there. But guess what? I don't need to. I want to, but I don't need to.
Right.
And for us, is it in our best interest to get Michael Penix ready, Mike?
Right.
That is the thing. And when I say get ready, I need him to be ready to take snaps, God forbid,
right,
if Kirk Cousins is not 100%. Now, he's on track. They're saying that, again, he's going to be taking snaps with the first team, which will give you some impressions of what we saw today. But I don't think this is something to worry about. I just think it's been confirmed, and now we can stop talking about it.
Right. Now the question is, how much of a workload do we give our number one pick, 8th overall, Michael Penix Jr.? Everybody wants to see him. Everybody here at Hooters, everybody listening wants to see him. You drafted him. The idea that, like, coach will give us, I do believe, some coach speak.
Yes.
And he kind of did today that Heineke and him are going to split the second quarterback reps. Kirk Cousins is going to practice in the scrimmage against Miami. You're just not going to see it. But when we start the season in Miami preseason, I think fans want to see Penix Jr. With all due respect to Taylor Heineke,
oh, yeah,
we've seen his ceiling. We know he's serviceable, but he didn't take the ball and really run with it when he got the chance when Ritter got benched. So I think most fans say, look, Heineke, you mop up in the second half. Give me a half of Penix Jr. Let's let Michael Penix Jr. soak up as much game experience in the off chance Cousins still isn't ready in week one.
I agree. I totally agree. And here's the thing, and this is not disrespectful, and I think, you know, he's been in the league long enough. Penix is the future. He's the past. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything that, you know, you can say, oh, that's cold. No, it's the truth.
It's the truth.
You don't draft a guy 8th overall and not have him potentially prepared to play for you at some point this season if need be. But let's hope it's not the case. And I'm telling you right now, Cousins, for everybody that's been worried, Mike and I watched today. Look, he's fine. It's going to be fun. Right.
Now, he was is he sitting there making, like, crisp turns? And no, he's not doing game-type stuff. He's making those pivots, throwing the ball down the line to what would be a screen pass, things like that. But, I mean, you know, it's still not the game situation. And, guys, it's still, remember, 8 weeks past when we lost Aaron Rodgers to the same injury. So, I just think fans, they don't want to hear it. They got to be patient. But as you said earlier, there's a lot of our audience going, I told you, aha. And that's why they love the idea of having two quarterbacks, even though the rest of the country didn't get it.
This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're live at Hooters. Come on through, man. We'll be here until 7. Tomorrow we'll be here as well. Here's a couple of observations from today. Richie Grant, Mike Hughes starting at safety and corner. The reason why that's interesting is because Mike Hughes and Clark Phillips, who you're going to hear in less than 10 minutes with Mike and I, are battling for one of those starting corner spots. We have not signed any veterans. We've not brought anybody else in. So that is interesting because you say, okay, it's day one. What does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that this is what you're going to go with, but Hughes got a lot of the first-team reps today. You'll hear what Clark Phillips had to say to us coming up. Also today, you're wondering about our rookies. Rook Aroro, he was playing with the first team, as was Braylon Trice, who was the edge rusher we drafted out of Washington.
Which kind of gets us in that conversation you and I were having all offseason with the Rams did in the draft and how they got those guys a lot of reps. And Jimmy Lake and Raheem, go look what the Rams did. They drafted guys in those middle rounds, third round, I should say. They got results. If that can happen for us, all those questions you and I have had about where the hell is the pass rush coming from may be answered.
I agree. Brandon Dorless, the D lineman we took in the fourth round, he was working with the second team. So just giving you some lay of the land. And then Mike, Charlie Warner, tight end, got a lot of snaps today.
Which leads me, I should say, to believe that Kyle Pitts, you know, I mean, again, it's just one day.
It is.
But we've heard that Kyle Pitts, Zach Robinson said, he's going to be used more as like that unicorn, which he should be. Be Tony Gonzalez. Don't be in there trying to block. We saw from Arthur Smith's time with him, he didn't really do a great job doing that.
No.
So let that guy do what he needs to do in more of the traditional tight end position.
All right. We also are going to give you a chance to win some tickets, so stay tuned. A four-pack of tickets with club and field-level patio access to the Falcons open practice on Friday, August 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it's brought to you by the Georgia Lottery. Along the way between now and the end of the show, we're going to tell you what was said about the Falcons' phrase or mantra this season. Mike and I had a great conversation about that. Also along the way, you're going to get a chance to hear from Grady, who spoke for the first time today since coming back. And Grady mentioned this, and I didn't even along with Kirk Cousins got hurt the same week.
Right.
I didn't even realize that. And then we played the Vikings.
And
that was the game in which we all remember fresh off the plane.
There
right?
was a dude from, what, Utah that was their rookie quarterback for the rest of the service. And then
there's no way
there's
he could
no
beat
way
us.
Darren Hall can come in here and beat the Falcons on Sunday.
No way.
Yeah.
There's
and then,
no way.
And then Dobbs came in because we knocked – what's his face? What's his name? Darren Hall?
There's no
Hall?
Way Darren Hall can come in here and beat the Falcons
we had Hall
on
and Oates was going to start.
Darren Hall. There was no way this kid was going to beat us,
Private
Mike.
Private eyes. Watching you shut up. I'm riffing.
No
it was
way.
Jaren Hall.
Jaren Hall.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah.
No way that you said it. I could have beat us, and it was Joshua Dobbs. So that's what kind of started that three-game slide of games that really just left everybody just fuming. But man, Grady, and you'll hear some of the stuff. You missed it earlier.
It just made me want to go harder.
That's it.
Right on.
That's it.
Grady basically did a mission statement, which I think every kid in America should know about hard work and discipline and not being a candy blank and getting after it.
Yeah, man. Work.
Right.
All right.
Hey, one other note. A couple guys asked us about A.J. Terrell. You said this earlier. 100% participation.
Oh, yeah.
His agent. You think the deal is going to get done soon?
I just feel like we have a real idea of what the contract, how it could be structured. Now, the reason why is because A.J. Terrell and his agent have seen cornerback Tyson Campbell sign for $76 million, $54, $53 right. million guaranteed. The per-year average, Mike, everybody, again, gets caught up in that. Right. I'm more caught up in the guaranteed money. What I think could happen is he could be in this range. And, by the way, Campbell plays for the Jags. He's the latest corner to get signed.
He's got 6 interceptions in 3 years, which is more than we've got.
Than A.J. Terrell. And so I think you could give him more of a guaranteed money, not maybe $2, $3 million more. It's not going to be that much more significant. I think he's in this range.
Right.
But the average, the per-year average, may not be higher. So he gets more guaranteed money,
right?
But the per-year average, what everybody looks at and says, is he a $19 or $20 million cornerback? That we can debate all day. I think that's what his people are going to try to do. We will see if the Falcons – but, guys, I don't think he gets more than this.
And, again, you said it earlier. I mean, Mike Hughes hasn't really done anything in a couple of years. You know, he had a couple of interceptions. That was back in 21.
Yeah.
So we just don't – if you look at that – and we'll have a chance as practice evolves, and we'll see if they do put Clark Phillips in the traditional opposite A.J. or he's going to be strictly a nickel guy. But, man, I just still can't imagine unless these
you
guys –
You cool with 4 years? Because that's what I think it's going to be.
And, like, by the way, A.J., the one thing you can say about A.J., he is carved out of wood.
No
that
doubt.
Dude looks the part.
No doubt.
I mean, he's big and physical. We just got to put him in a system where he can get some damn interceptions.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Jesse Bates leads the team. But, I mean, A.J., if you're going to – he's not going to reset the market because I think even his agent realizes that's not doable. But he's going to get paid.
Yeah, and we saw him after practice and, you know, he did the
head. Great attitude.
Well, yeah, but he gave us the head nod. He was just chilling and he's like, you know, we know because we just spoke to him. I mean, we spoke with him about a month or so ago at you know, the finishing of mini camp. And he was like, look, I'm going to let things play out the way they should. All right, caller number six, 404-726-0929. You're going to win a four-pack of tickets with club and field level patio access to go check out the Falcons open practice. It's brought to you by the Georgia Lottery. We've got a lot more to get to. Strong arm story of the day. Yes, the Braves are in action, and we'll talk to Grant McCauley. Listen, the Mets are hot, guys. Grant's going to join us in about 20 minutes. Mm. This may get worse before it gets better, Mike.
Yeah, and we'll talk about what a lot of Braves fans, we were going round and round yesterday, did it earlier in the show. We're not being negative. We're just being realistic. I mean, no, we're not saying the Braves can't win a World Series. I'm just telling you, with every injury, with every day that Monty Harris is still out, and I know it was a roster move, but you're telling me Monty Harris is going to be on the field in 3 weeks?
No, and I love guys like that. It's just procedural. Yes, a lot of things in baseball are.
Yeah, but, and sometimes teams don't necessarily come clean with a situation. That's what it is. They don't have to tell the rest of Major League Baseball guys as banged up as he is. NFL guys do it all the time.
No doubt about it. All right, Clark Phillips, we had a chance to talk to him. Two things are going to happen. Clark Phillips is going to be a big-time playmaker for the Falcons, and he's a starter. Or, Mike, maybe he's just a guy that's in the nickel in passing downs. I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but you'll hear from him coming up about how he's trying to grow as a player next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
So we now know Kirk Cousins probably won't play in the preseason. He admitted that today. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters. What else is going on around the NFL before we hear from Clark Phillips, who was battling for one of the corner spots, Mike? Here's a couple of things, guys. We've been saying this hold in. It's a new phrase because guys are getting fined, but you don't get fined if you're there, even if you're not participating. So right. Jamar Chase wants a new deal. Mike, he's scheduled to make $1 million in base salary, $4.8 million overall this year. Mike Brown, okay, of Cincinnati, he owns a team. He's basically said, nothing's imminent this week. So what did Jamar Chase do? I'm present, but he's not practicing.
Right.
So Joe Burrow does not have Jamar Chase out there he's practicing.
And we said this about, like, Buffalo and their window. I mean, they took a big step. They lost last year because Burrow couldn't stay healthy. How long can you keep T. Higgins and, let's be honest, Jamar Chase and that whole group together with an offensive line that can keep Burrow upright and still have a good pass rush before the money goes away, right? So this is one where they've got to get it ready because there's a finite amount of time for that group of players to make it work. Same thing goes for Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams in San Francisco.
Yes.
Trent Williams has a monster contract, but he's basically pulling the Julio thing. He got a huge deal in 2022,
yes,
and now he wants a new deal. 2021, now he wants a new deal. So he is the highest paid, one of the highest paid linemen. He wants even more loot. So you're in a situation where how is it become a distraction? Are you able to get the things you want to get done? And then there's just the old-fashioned injuries. Cowboys today, Trayvon Diggs, he's put on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. This is a guy who's been one of the best defensive backs in the league, and then he's had some injuries two of the last 3 years, but now we won't be able to start. We're playing the Cowboys this year on our schedule.
Yeah, what's that going to look like? Because Dak Prescott, I want to read something to you guys.
This is interesting.
Dak has said all of the right things. As a matter of fact, I went off on Dak weeks ago when he said during the offseason, I'll play for free. No, you won't. Don't say that. But Dak, today after practice, this is coming from Charles Robinson, who covers the Cowboys. Dak said, I'm going to say it. I want to be here, okay? He's not gotten a new deal yet. We know it's broaching, Mike, $60 million. We've talked about the number that could possibly happen for him. So he says, I'm going to say it. I want to be here. But when you look it up, all the other great quarterbacks that I've watched play for other teams, then their first team, that's not something to fear.
What he's telling you is, if I don't get this deal, I'm probably out of here, right? And I hope you guys are following me here. I'm going to say it. I want to be here. But then here's what he said after that. But when you look it up, all the other great quarterbacks that I've watched play for other teams other than their first team, that's not something to fear.
In other words, you started with Team A, you had success with Team B.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
And I think this is the first time he's basically saying again, yeah, of course I want to be a Cowboy, but if I'm not, I'm still about to make this money. I'm still going to go somewhere else and get paid. And this is like the first time we've heard him say, I'm not afraid to leave.
Yeah, I know that it is a short list, though, of guys that had success with two teams. I mean, you know, Joe Montana with the Chiefs, small sample size at the end, but took him to an AFC championship. Certainly Brett Favre, albeit that no one remembers the Jets time, but he had him in the NFC championship against the Vikings, and he was a bad handoff away from going to the Super Bowl. So to Dak's point, some of those examples are kind of where Dak's career is going to wind up.
Well, Mike,
probably coming up short, because I don't see Dak winning a Super Bowl. He's got to be able to be clutch. Fair or unfair, McCarthy, he put together his best regular season, and once again, you're defined by the playoffs. The same thing, guys, same reason our audience bags on Kirk Cousins, the same things that seem to happen to Dak Prescott every January.
I just, and I do agree with you, and I did an extensive segment on this over the weekend. Mike, here's the deal. These are the two last years in the playoffs. They go to San Francisco. They had 6 second-half possessions. They had 3 points. Okay? They lose that game. Last year, you know what the deal was. It was 27-7 at halftime.
Right. It smoked.
Dak threw 2 picks. Jordan Love threw 0. And you know what the final score was. Those are the moments you're talking about. Mm. So when you say whether he's worth $60 million, this is the going rate, I just think there's some hesitation and reservation by Jerry Jones and Steven to say, I cannot do that. If you win a Super Bowl this year, we'll pay you whatever you want. But I can't go into a season where this is what's happened. You've been 12 and whatever the last 3 years, and in these division games, you've not been able to carry us. So as we talk about that, you're talking about the injuries. We're talking about CeeDee Lamb, who, by the way, I reposted it. CeeDee Lamb's in Houston working out. He just posted a video today. All of his Cowboy teammates are headed to camp. He's in Houston working out. He's not there.
But here's the thing with Dallas, and this is what makes it so tough for Dallas. You have the immovable object, Jerry Jones, and his son, that cabal that runs the team. You don't have – let's be honest. You're good enough to do the things you just talked about, but let's be honest. McCarthy's probably gone after this year if they don't do anything.
Yes.
Because for whatever reason, Jerry doesn't fire coach. He lets him play out their contract. And then you say to yourself, so you're going to bring in a new coach for Dak Prescott and that guy's going to do better? Dak just had his best year as a pro last year under McCarthy. So what are you going to do? You're not going to sign McCarthy, you're not going to sign Dak, and you're going to get a new coach and draft somebody and go and start from scratch?
This is the risk.
Because that's where you got – what are you going to do? I mean, you can't find – you can't trade for anybody. You know, I mean, unless we go and trade Kirk Cousins next year, but I mean, that sounds ridiculous. You've got to – if you're the Cowboys, these are the big questions, because you're in this – we were in this hell of being 7-10. They're in a hell of winning 12 games and going nowhere. Either way, you're still not getting to the Super Bowl, and Jerry hasn't been there since 95.
I think Dak Prescott had the better year.
Thank you, Micah Parsons. It's Dukes
and
Bell.
You got to pay him.
Yeah, you do. Right. Now, that's a dude I pay. Right? That dude done grown trees.
Who, by the way, said that Mike Zimmer's defense, he's not really vibing it. Not really feeling it so far.
That dude done grown on trees. All right, let's talk about our guys.
How do you like that? We got a big Cowboy fan at the bar. Jerome was just sucking
his own. Oh, hi, Jerome. Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Yeah. Hey, Jerome.
They're in disarray.
You might be an Alabama fan, but you kind of root for the Auburn of the NFL.
Look at his face. Hey, let's hear from Clark Phillips, Mike. We had a chance to catch up with him. He is competing for one of the starting cornerback spots. And we asked him first and foremost, like, hey, how's it going, man?
First day of practice in the books. Camp is here. First of all, how you feeling, man? What's going on?
Feeling amazing, man. It's so good to be back with the guys and working and back at it.
Clark Phillips was one of the stories last year. You and Drake London getting after it.
Yeah.
What's the difference this year, man? I mean, you're feeling like a vet. You're feeling like you're going to be the starting corner on this team opposite A.J. Terrell.
Yeah, it's year two, man. Just looking for improvement, trying to grow, trying to get better. And, yeah, man, I can't wait to compete with Drake this year.
Well, everybody was telling us, I say everybody, your teammates. Jesse Bates, we talked to A.J., and they were talking about your development and your growth. Talk a little bit about that, man. This offseason, you know, you played a lot last year. But what did you focus on this offseason?
One of the biggest things was just learning from counterparts, learning from all of the guys that played in front of me. And then really leaning on guys like Coach Gray, Coach Hood, for that development to continue to take place. I feel like I grew a lot last year, but looking to keep on going, man. I'm a young player in this league, and I just want to help the team win.
It's Clark Phillips with us live on Dukes and Bell. What is Jimmy Lake said your role is going to be?
So far, we're just, you know, I'm just kind of cross-training, playing nickel and corner, just trying to learn everything, man. That's the biggest thing, is just trying to get better every single day. So I'm just taking it day by day and just want to keep on growing.
Mike, I feel like we're watching a movie right now. Clark Phillips is dropping the day by day, one day at a time.
Yeah, that's it.
You have learned the art in just your second year to not give the media any juice.
Man, listen, what do you want to see yourself out here doing? What do you envision yourself being this season?
Making plays, man. Making plays. Last year, we got a few opportunities, and I feel like I capitalized in a lot of situations. And with the coaching staff, I feel like they're giving me great opportunities early on in training camp to get out there and help the guys win. So I'm excited.
Going up against some elites, we saw that last game of the season. That seemed like that was a learning curve for you. What do you take from that last game against New Orleans?
Man, it's great. It's great. Great learning experience. As we know, DB man is one of the tougher positions on the field, and I'm grateful to be in the fire and grateful to learn, grateful to play, and then, you know, grateful to be with these guys. They couldn't have made it any better.
We're talking with Clark Phillips here, guys. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Day one of camp is in the books. And is this more or less than what you experienced last year? Like, coming in, your expectations last year, how you felt versus now?
Well, obviously, you know, your first time at anything, man, just seems like it's everything getting thrown at you. And that was my experience last year. But I was grateful for it. I feel like I picked up, and I was picked up where I left off out of college. And then, you know, this year it's like, okay, everything's kind of happening twice now. This is the second time doing everything, so it's definitely a lot more comfortable in a sense.
All right, trying to pull some details out. Now, no secret sauce. Should we expect more zone coverage, more man-to-man, a mixture of both?
Man, whatever my DC calls, man, I'm gonna go with the flow, man. And we try to sharpen our tools and our knives and our swords, man, so that we're ready for whatever he calls.
Clark, as far as going up against Drake and Kyle every day, you know, talk about that experience, man, because there's high expectations for what the offense is going to look like, especially with Kirk now in the center.
Man, great players, man, fun to guard and practice, and, you know, we expect a big year out of both of them.
And we added some speed. I mean, obviously, we're going to see more balls in the air and balls being caught tomorrow, but yeah. Seems like we had a real speed element with Darnell Mooney, some of those other dudes.
What's up, Darnell?
Go ahead. They make some practices real fun. They make practices real fun, guarding guys like that. You know, you can only be ready for Sundays.
Man, we appreciate you. Good luck this camp, appreciate y'all. Looking forward to watching.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, guys, man.
You got
appreciate it.
And a guy that certainly has got a lot of fight and fire. We talked about at the start of the interview, the things last year was the defensive and offense basically rallying around the 1v1 battle. And whoever won that, you know, that would basically win the practice and the other guys be running more. It's kind of cool, but he's still a little undersized, you know. And that's the thing. Is his natural spot to be the nickel? Or, and that's the thing, Mike Hughes? We got to go get another dude. I'm going to ask.
You don't feel good about that?
We get a chance tomorrow. I'm going to ask Coach Rod. He won't answer it, but I'm going to ask a question. Are you happy with that quarterback role? I know what he's going to say.
You don't think he's going to say, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
We use words like nickel and corner. You use them as a punchline. Hey, by the way, one last NFL nugget. Guess who's getting the reps with the Steelers?
Justin Fields.
As Carl Duke said, hashtag bring him home. Apparently, Russell Wilson's got some sand in his... No, he's got a calf injury. So, Russell Wilson's got a calf injury, which is keeping him out of Steelers early practice.
He dropped a dime today, about 65, 70 yards. I retweeted it. I think he's going to be the starter by about week 6.
The irony in that one is Arthur didn't want him here.
I'm just telling... It's not what Arthur wants. It's what Mike Tomlin
Bingo.
Wants. We will see. Hey, coming up, Grant McCauley's going to join us. Our Braves are in New York to take on the Mets. Can we find a way to turn this around? It's Dukes and Bell live at Hooters in Mall of Georgia.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can the Braves turn things around? Let's talk about it a little bit. Take a little bit of a break from what we've been talking about with our Falcons. We'll get back to that. If you're just joining us, Kirk Cousins saying today he will not play in the preseason. More on that coming up. But the last time the Braves visited Queens, they earned a decisive series win, and they basically sent the Mets into a tailspin. And everybody said, the Mets season is over. Not so fast. Grant McCauley joining us as we go around the yard. Grant, let's talk about what's happened with the Mets before we talk about the Braves, because we know second game postponed yesterday. We'll talk about all the latest on the injury front. But what has happened with the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, they're just playing a better brand of baseball than they were earlier in the season, which should let people know that, you know, it, no matter where this slump or the slide happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that the season is over. So I feel like the Mets have been a really good example of that. They're pitching better. They're hitting, obviously, a lot better. Francisco Lindor has been on absolute fire since getting moved to the leadoff spot there. So that's been a big catalyst for them because he's one of the highest paid players in baseball. You need him to play like a superstar, and he has been. So they've won 7 out of 10 coming in. The Braves have lost 7 out of 10 coming in. And with that being said, all of a sudden the Braves are just sitting a game and a half ahead of the Mets for the top wild card spot. And 6 total teams are now within 2 games of a wild card spot. It has heated up in the playoff push for a number of these teams that may not be winning their division, but very much have October on their minds.
And Grant, I mean, April was red hot. They came out, I mean, really on fire, and then they just cooled off. And we've already talked about individual player stats and how it's been like a roller coaster for Matt Olson and others. But you still have three good pitchers between the guy going tonight, Chris Sale. By the way, great pitching matchup against Luis Severino tonight. But Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, and Max Fried. If we can get to the playoffs, that they're capable of certainly shutting down some other teams. But you know, the question is, can we get there? We went round and round with the audience yesterday about, you know, the news about Michael Harris. It was retroactive, just extending that as absence. But when will we see Michael Harris?
This really, honestly, does not change much about the timetable that we have been talking about, because we knew that with a grade 2 strain, this was going to be a lengthy absence. Now, whether or not he felt, you know, like, hey, I'm better than I thought I'd be at this point, did not necessitate, hey, a rehab assignment's right around the corner, because they were very, I feel like, straightforward in saying, until he sprints, he's not going out anywhere, and he hasn't sprinted yet. So this really doesn't change much. The fact was he had already spent from the 15th of June to July 25th. So he'd already spent basically 50-ish days on the injured list. So if he's not going to be back for another 10 days, the 60-day IL does not matter. Like, it doesn't factor at all. Now, when do you want him back is a more important question. When can you get him back? And I feel like we're still tracking for that early mid-August timetable for that rehab assignment to get him back in there. And there has been no indication that there's been any kind of setback. So it just doesn't change the timetable altogether that much, but it doesn't make you feel better about the fact that he's not walking through the door anytime soon to help an offense that needs all the help it can get.
Grant, we played a soundbite earlier in the show from Matt Olson. Well, what's your vibe? He said, look, I know I'm not playing well. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was the first time where he was like, look, things are not going well, and, you know, we're just trying to work out of this. What's your vibe on Olson, just his situation? And do you think we're so far along in the season where he's going to be able to work himself out of this? I still think he's pressing. I know you've brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
But, Grant, we're at a point now where I feel like he feels like he's not doing the things he needs to do. And every time you're at the plate, it's not a clear mindset. It's not, hey, I haven't gotten a hit in a game or two. It's, man, I'm slumping, you know?
Right. Yeah, and how can you not carry that with you when you're going up there? And I think that he is. But I think that, you know, mechanically – there are some things he can continue to try to work through, maybe to get, and I'm not the hitting guru that's going to fix it for him. Let me go ahead and couch everything I say with that. But this is somebody who has been through slumps before. He has been through hot streaks before. He's been through everything in between before. There's nothing to indicate that he can't figure it out. But the win has been the real sticking point, unfortunately, for Matt Olson, perhaps above and beyond any other Braves hitter this year. He's the one that's been bit the hardest. But he went through that homerless streak early in the year. Then he got right for about a month, and then all of a sudden the last month, it's just been this peaks and valleys and roller coaster of a season for him. So I know that has to be on his mind. You know, he's well aware of all the opportunities he has to impact a game, to give the Braves the run support that they need for their starters, to have more of a margin for error, and just in general, the expectation that he has for himself to be a hitter in the middle of the lineup, and he's back at cleanup this evening, that can be a run producer, the likes of which he was the best run producer a year ago in baseball with 139 runs batted in and 54 homers. Now, he may not reach those totals this year, but there are two meaningful months of the season ahead of him, and he's very much, I'm sure, looking to find ways to contribute and get out of this slump. And I think you just have to continue to stick with it, to trust the process, to continue to work, to do all the cliche things that people hate, because what's your other option? Give up? That's not one that Matt Olson or any other athlete's going to take when they're trying to work through something like this. You just have to stick with it and have to believe in yourself.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, as the Braves taking on the Mets up at Citi Field. We're like 5 days away from the trade deadline. I mean, we're actually 5 months from Christmas, by the way. Man, the year go flies by, doesn't it? But July 30th, trade deadline. Do you feel the Braves have to be proactive, or they have to?
Yeah.
I mean, I just – the fans, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for the fans, Grant. I feel we got to get ahead of the other teams. You just mentioned how many people are alive in the National League alone.
Yeah, but at the top of that heap, the Braves are still sitting there, despite their flaws, despite the injuries, despite the things that have happened that have not gone according to plan for them this year. Yeah, you look at the National League East standings, that's a very different picture than anybody's used to, and maybe that's the backdrop of all of this. Though I would say, I hear from people like, I don't care about winning the division, they got to win the World Series for me to care. All right, well, cool, but there are some steps that go along the way to get you there, and the Braves have to care about those steps, and they have to complete those steps in order to get that done because that's their goal too. So if you're looking at a club that has the opportunity to get into October, even though it has dealt with some of the injuries that it has and may not be able to make six different trades that fill every one of those for a variety of different reasons, including the prospects, the prices, who's selling, who's available, all that kind of stuff, they still have that chance, and I don't think that they've given up in any way, shape, or form on finding their way into the postseason to put themselves in the position for something to work out for them and to maybe be that team. And I know I'm a broken record about this, but if you got the opportunity to go to the playoffs, what message are you sending your fan base if you say, okay, well, yeah, we could be in, but not this year. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to let these guys flap in the wind, which, by the way, you send a message to your players as well when you don't do anything. And I just don't think the Braves are in that business, honestly.
How much pressure is on Sale to continue to be perfect? We saw a no-no today, right? We saw a no-no?
Dylan Cease. Dylan the Padres Cease. Over the Nats.
Okay, so here's my thinking about this, Grant. Grant McCauley joining us, guys, as we go around the yard. Mets, Braves tonight. The series starts up in New York. I don't want to say he has to be perfect, but isn't there more pressure on Sale every time now he takes the ball because of what the offense is not doing?
I think it's kind of been that story along, though, and he's actually one of the pitchers that, despite a couple of games here or there, has gotten a decent amount of run support. And Chris Sale's been doing this a long time. He knows that he has zero control over what happens offensively. He's just got to go out there and pitch his game and execute, and that's what he has done extremely well this year. He has sent a message that Chris Sale is very much still got a lot of gas left in the tank, tread on the tire, whatever you want to call it, and that he's able to go out there and be an impactful pitcher. And that's all that the Braves are asking him to do. And, it, you know, putting much more on yourself than that, it's not really going to benefit you. And I think Chris Sale is very cognizant of what the differences are between what he can control and what he can't control and how to go out there and try to stay in that mindset. I don't think you get to where he has gotten to and accomplish what he's accomplished if you're worrying about the things that you can't control.
How high is pitching on the trade deadline list for AA, just knowing that, you know, Max did have his little whatever that is, the arm tweak, and you just can't be rolling out some of this talent, if we're honest, Grant, as six-day starters?
No, I mean, you can't, and I think that pitching and getting somebody in there that's got at least a track record of being a dependable big league starter would go a long way for the Braves. They can also look to the fact that, hey, A.J. Smith-Shaw, Renee Anderson could be factors, and those are not small, you know, names. That's your top pitching prospect and a guy that's had postseason success for you. I understand that those are guys that have been injured or fought injury or been out for a long time in the case of Anderson, but you can't dismiss them out of hand as being part of what could help you not have to go further down the depth chart and end up in some of the places that you have lately. So I think going out and finding a dependable starter, regardless of whether or not it's somebody that you expect to hand the ball to in October, is something that the Braves would benefit from. And then they can figure everything else out from there in terms of who gets that spot start here and there that keeps Chris Sale or Ronaldo Lopez getting that extra day. It would just stabilize. And if you get Max Fried back in that mix, all of a sudden you've gotten things back the way that you want it to. And I know there's a lot of ifs here, but you kind of have to operate under, all right, well, our expectation right now, based on the medical evidence and tests that we have, is expect Max Fried back. But we need to make other plans to make it even stronger, even better. And I think fortifications in that rotation would go a long way towards helping the Braves out. But I say all of that, and then I'll tell you, the number one need is finding a way to get this offense going. There's just no two ways about that.
And by the way, just a follow-up, I haven't asked you in a couple of days. Last we checked, Ian Anderson was doing rehab starts down in Florida, right?
No, Ian Anderson has been activated from the injured list in AAA Gwinnett. He did two appearances in the Gulf, or not Gulf Coast, the Florida Coast League, Florida Complex League, whatever the hell they call it now. And then he went to Augusta to do a couple of starts. Then he went to Rome, and now he's in Gwinnett. So he's making his way up. The thing about Ian Anderson was, when he had Tommy John surgery, he was not on the major league roster, so the Braves did not have to put him on the major league injured list to deal with it. He was in the minors the entire time. So this basically worked out in a way that the Braves were able to let him continue, and then when he's ready to come to the big leagues, it's not on the clock of, okay, you're out of rehab starts. What are you going to do? Now he gets to just go out and be Ian Anderson, and that's an important thing for him. in his recovery.
All right, buddy. What happens tonight? Still is a lot going on. And listen, I don't think there's any more pressure now than there's been. But when teams are chasing you now, right, we can't make the errors and the mistakes in the field we made the other day. I mean, it's just like you got to pick everything up. And I think everybody knows that. Grant, great job as always. We will talk to you tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And by the way, you think he's tired of talking about all this stuff?
Yes.
Because it has been a blank show.
No,
let's be honest.
Braves fans got on us yesterday. If you didn't hear the show, like, you guys being too negative. Guys, momentum is shifting from the Braves right now. We just talked about it. The Mets are getting hot. Other teams are rolling. Yet half of Major League Baseball is going to be in play in the trade deadline.
That's right. That's right.
So what are you going to do about it?
What are you doing?
First things first, if Olsen would just freaking hit, and Murphy could hit, and Kelnick could hit.
What if he...
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Can the Braves turn things around? Let's talk about it a little bit. Take a little bit of a break from what we've been talking about with our Falcons. We'll get back to that. If you're just joining us, Kirk Cousins saying today he will not play in the preseason. More on that coming up. But the last time the Braves visited Queens, they earned a decisive series win, and they basically sent the Mets into a tailspin. And right, everybody said, the Mets season is over. Not so fast. Grant McCauley joining us as we go around the yard. Grant, let's talk about what's happened with the Mets before we talk about the Braves, because we know second game postponed yesterday. We'll talk about all the latest on the injury front. But what has happened with the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, they're just playing a better brand of baseball than they were earlier in the season, which should let people know that, you know, no matter where this slump or the slide happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that the season is over. So I feel like the Mets have been a really good example of that. They're pitching better. They're hitting, obviously, a lot better. Francisco Lindor has been on absolute fire since getting moved to the leadoff spot there. So that's been a big catalyst for them because he's one of the highest paid players in baseball. You need him to play like a superstar, and he has been. So they've won 7 out of 10 coming in. The Braves have lost 7 out of 10 coming in. And with that being said, all of a sudden the Braves are just sitting a game and a half ahead of the Mets for the top wild card spot. And 6 total teams are now within 2 games of a wild card spot. It has heated up in the playoff push for a number of these teams that may not be winning their division, but very much have October on their minds.
And Grant, I mean, April was red hot. They came out, I mean, really on fire, and then they just cooled off. And we've already talked about individual player stats and how it's been like kind of a roller coaster for Matt Olson and others. But you still have three good pitchers between the guy going tonight, Chris Sale. By the way, great pitching matchup against Luis Severino tonight. But Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, and Max Fried. If we can get to the playoffs, that they're capable of certainly shutting down some other teams. But you know, the question is, can we get there? We went round and round with the audience yesterday about, you know, the news about Michael Harris. It was retroactive, just extending that as absence. But when will we see Michael Harris?
This really, honestly, does not change much about the timetable that we have been talking about, because we knew that with a grade 2 strain, this was going to be a lengthy absence. Now, whether or not he felt, you know, like, hey, I'm better than I thought I'd be at this point, did not necessitate, hey, a rehab assignment's right around the corner, because they were very, I feel like, straightforward in saying, until he sprints, he's not going out anywhere, and he hasn't sprinted yet. So this really doesn't change much. The fact was, he had already spent from the 15th of June to July 25th. So he'd already spent basically 50-ish days on the injured list. So if he's not going to be back for another 10 days, the 60-day IL does not matter. Like, it doesn't factor at all. Now, when do you want him back is the more important question. When can you get him back? And I feel like we're still tracking for that early mid-August timetable for that rehab assignment to get him back in there. And there has been no indication that there's been any kind of setback. So it just doesn't change the timetable altogether that much, but it doesn't make you feel better about the fact that he's not walking through the door anytime soon to help an offense that needs all the help it can get.
Grant, we played a soundbite earlier in the show from Matt Olson. Well, what's your vibe? He said, look, I know I'm not playing well. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was the first time where he was like, look, things are not going well, and, you know, we're just trying to work out of this. What's your vibe on Olson, just his situation? And do you think we're so far along in the season where – he's going to be able to work himself out of this? I still think he's pressing. I know you've brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
But, Grant, we're at a point now where I feel like he feels like he's not doing the things he needs to do. And every time you're at the plate, it's not a clear mindset. It's not, hey, I haven't gotten a hit in a game or two. It's, man, yeah. I'm slumping, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and how can you not carry that with you when you're going up there? And I think that he is, but I think that, you know, mechanically there are some things he can continue to try to work through, maybe to get, and I'm not the hitting guru that's going to fix it for him. Let me go ahead and couch everything I say with that. But this is somebody who has been through slumps before. He has been through hot streaks before. He's been through everything in between before. There's nothing to indicate that he can't figure it out. But the win has been the real sticking point, unfortunately, for Matt Olson, perhaps above and beyond any other Braves hitter this year. He's the one that's been bit the hardest. But he went through that homerless streak early in the year. Then he got right for about a month. And then all of a sudden, the last month, it's just been this peaks and valleys and roller coaster of a season for him. So I know that has to be on his mind. You know, he's well aware of all the opportunities he has to impact a game, to give the Braves the run support that they need for their starters, to have more of a margin for error, and just in general, the expectation that he has for himself to be a hitter in the middle of the lineup, and he's back at cleanup this evening, that can be a run producer, the likes of which he was the best run producer a year ago in baseball with 139 runs batted in and 54 homers. Now, he may not reach those totals this year, but there are two meaningful months of the season ahead of him, and he's very much, I'm sure, looking to find ways to contribute and get out of this slump. And I think you just have to continue to stick with it, to trust the process, to continue to work, to do all the cliche things that people hate, because what's your other option? Give up? That's not one that Matt Olson or any other athlete's going to take when they're trying to work through something like this. You just have to stick with it and have to believe in yourself.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, as the Braves taking on the Mets up at Citi Field. We're like 5 days away from the trade deadline. I mean, we're actually 5 months from Christmas, by the way. Man, the year go flies by, doesn't it? But July 30th, trade deadline. Do you feel the Braves have to be proactive, or they have to?
Yeah.
The fans, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for the fans, Grant. I feel we got to get ahead of the other teams. You just mentioned how many people are alive in the National League alone.
Yeah, but at the top of that heap, the Braves are still sitting there. Despite their flaws, despite the injuries, despite the things that have happened that have not gone according to plan for them this year, yeah, you look at the National League East standings, that's a very different picture than anybody's used to, and maybe that's the backdrop of all of this. Though I would say, I hear from people like, I don't care about winning the division. They got to win the World Series for me to care. All right, well, cool, but there are some steps that go along the way to get you there, and the Braves have to care about those steps, and they have to complete those steps in order to get that done, because that's their goal, too. So if you're looking at a club that has the opportunity to get into October, even though it has dealt with some of the injuries that it has and may not be able to make six different trades that fill every one of those for a variety of different reasons, including the prospects, the prices, who's selling, who's available, all that kind of stuff, they still have that chance, and I don't think that they've given up in any way, shape, or form on finding their way into the postseason to put themselves in the position for something to work out for them and to maybe be that team. And I know I'm a broken record about this, but if you got the opportunity to go to the playoffs, what message are you sending your fan base if you say, okay, well, yeah, we could be in, but not this year. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to let these guys flap in the wind, which, by the way, you send a message to your players as well when you don't do anything. And I just don't think the Braves are in that business, honestly.
How much pressure is on Sale to continue to be perfect? We saw a no-no today, right? We saw a no-no?
Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease. The Padres over the Nats.
Okay, so here's my thinking about this, Grant. Grant McCauley joining us, guys, as we go around the yard. Mets, Braves tonight. The series starts up in New York. I don't want to say he has to be perfect, but isn't there more pressure on Sale every time now he takes the ball because of what the offense is not doing?
I think it's kind of been that story along, though, and he's actually one of the pitchers that, despite a couple of games here or there, has gotten a decent amount of run support, and Chris Sale's been doing this a long time. He knows that he has zero control over what happens offensively. He's just got to go out there and pitch his game and execute, and that's what he has done extremely well this year. He has sent a message that Chris Sale is very much still got a lot of gas left in the tank, tread on the tire, whatever you want to call it, and that he's able to go out there and be an impactful pitcher. And that's all that the Braves are asking him to do. And, putting much more on yourself than that, it's not really going to benefit you. And I think Chris Sale is very cognizant of what the differences are between what he can control and what he can't control and how to go out there and try to stay in that mindset. I don't think you get to where he has gotten to and accomplish what he's accomplished if you're worrying about the things that you can't control.
How high is pitching on the trade deadline list for AA, just knowing that, you know, Max did have his little whatever that is, the arm tweak, and you just can't be rolling out some of this talent, if we're honest, Grant, as 6-day starters?
No, I mean, you can't. And I think that pitching and getting somebody in there that's got at least a track record of being a dependable big league starter would go a long way for the Braves. They can also look to the fact that, hey, A.J. Smith-Shaw, Renee Anderson could be factors, and those are not small, you know, names. That's your top pitching prospect and a guy that's had postseason success for you. I understand that those are guys that have been injured or fought injury or been out for a long time in the case of Anderson, but you can't dismiss them out of hand as being part of what could help you not have to go further down the depth chart and end up in some of the places that you have lately. So I think going out and finding a dependable starter, regardless of whether or not it's somebody that you expect to hand the ball to in October, is something that the Braves would benefit from. And then they can figure everything else out from there in terms of who gets that spot start here and there that keeps Chris Sale or Ronaldo Lopez getting that extra day. It would just stabilize. And if you get Max Fried back in that mix, all of a sudden you've gotten things back the way that you want it to. And I know there's a lot of ifs here, but you kind of have to operate under, all right, well, our expectation right now, based on the medical evidence and tests that we have, is expect Max Fried back. But we need to make other plans to make it even stronger, even better. And I think fortifications in that rotation would go a long way towards helping the Braves out. But I say all of that, and then I'll tell you, the number one need is finding a way to get this offense going. There's just no two ways about that.
And by the way, just a follow-up, I haven't asked you in a couple of days. Last we checked, Ian Anderson was doing rehab starts down in Florida, right?
No, Ian Anderson has been activated from the injured list in AAA Gwinnett. He did two appearances in the Gulf, or not Gulf Coast, the Florida Coast League, Florida Complex League, whatever the hell they call it now. And then he went to Augusta to do a couple of starts. Then he went to Rome, and now he's in Gwinnett. So he's making his way up. The thing about Ian Anderson was, when he had Tommy John surgery, he was not on the major league roster, so the Braves did not have to put him on the major league injured list to deal with it. He was in the minors the entire time. So this basically worked out in a way that the Braves were able to let him continue, and then when he's ready to come to the big leagues, it's not on the clock of, okay, you're out of rehab starts. What are you going to do? Now he gets to just go out and be Ian Anderson, and that's an important thing for him in his recovery.
All right, buddy. What happens tonight? Still is a lot going on. And listen, I don't think there's any more pressure now than there's been. But when teams are chasing you now, right, we can't make the errors and the mistakes in the field we made the other day. I mean, it's just like you got to pick everything up. And I think everybody knows that. Grant, great job as always. We will talk to you tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And by the way, you think he's tired of talking about all this stuff?
Yes.
Because it has been a blank show.
No,
let's be honest.
Braves fans got on us yesterday. If you didn't hear the show, like, you guys being too negative. Guys, momentum is shifting from the Braves right now. We just talked about it. The Mets are getting hot. Other teams are rolling. Yet half of Major League Baseball is going to be in play in the trade deadline.
That's right.
So what are you going to do about it?
What are you doing?
First things first, if Olsen would just freaking hit, and Murphy could hit, and Kelnick could hit.
What if he goes like 5 for 5 tonight?
Well, good. Do your job.
Who are you?
I'm the guy. That's for those who love the departed. Who am I? I'm the guy who does my job.
That's right.
You must be the other guy.
The other guy. Let's hope so, man. Keep our fingers crossed. Every day I get a tweet from Vicky, and she's like, Braves are going to win tonight. I'm like, let's hope.
Yep.
All right, coming up, top 3 at 6, the latest from Falcons training camp, the most important story of the day, and what did Grady Jarrett say in his return?
Oh, it's a message for all of America.
Call on the way.